Our most dear, kind, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and glorious name. Once again we come into thy hallowed presence to offer thee our thanks and praise for thy love and thy mercy and thy goodness to us. And dear Father, we are thankful for gathering here with our dear brethren in Boise to partake of the spiritual feast that thou hast prepared for us. May we be prepared to receive a blessing, and may thy Spirit, Holy Spirit, rest upon this convention, and may our hearts be filled with more of thy Spirit of truth and righteousness. We pray thy blessing upon all thy kindred people throughout the world. Bless those dear ones who are less fortunate than we, and we pray that thou wilt meet them out a blessing according to thy will. Now we thank thee for the temporal food that has been prepared for the nourishment of our bodies, and may we use the strength that we derive therefrom to honor thee and to serve thee in spirit and in truth. Forgive us for our failures, dear Father, and keep us in thy love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We welcome you to Boise. You'll receive an official welcome in the morning from Brother Ron. This evening we're very pleased to have Brother Carlton and Sister Catherine from Portland with us. They've been very faithful servants of this convention for many years. And Brother Carlton's going to serve us tonight, and he has chosen for his opening hymn, number 239. Number 239, please.
Most holy name, we're so thankful, dear Father, for the gift of thy blessed and only begotten Son. We're thankful, dear Father, for thy love and watch care over us and for thy guidance. We're thankful for this blessed opportunity of meeting again together with those like precious faith, that we may study thy precious word. We pray that thy Spirit would rest with us, be with all those dear ones the world over as thou seest their individual needs. Be with any one that may be still traveling to this convention. Guide, watch over them. We pray now thy blessing upon our dear brother Carlton Chandler as he would address us this evening from thy word of truth, that we may be built up more and more in the most holy faith, and that he also may receive a blessing. Forgive anything that may be said or done amiss. In Jesus' name and through his merit we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tiffany. Brother Carlton has chosen for his subject this evening the six special powers of prayer. The six special powers of prayer.
Thank you, Brother Allen. And my dear brethren, I need not stand before you and say how happy we are to be here, because we're blessed to be here with you again this year. And we look forward to Boise. It's springtime, and as we traveled up the river last night with the Staffics, we remarked how wonderfully green everything was. And, you know, we like to come up in the fall, too, up that river, because then all of the colors are in, especially bloom, you know, the reds and the greens and the yellows, and everything is so nice. But this is a special time of the year, and it reminds us of the resurrection. It reminds us of Jesus. It reminds us of the kingdom when all shall bloom again. All shall be blessed. As the rain was out ahead of us, we didn't have any rain after we left Portland for a number of miles until almost we got to Pendleton. But the rain, how much of a blessing that was to see it rain, refresh the earth. We bring you the love and greetings of your brethren in Portland. They voted unanimously to have their love sent to you both the Sunday and the Wednesday night class. And we've been specially blessed in this past 3 weeks because we've had the Nicoras with us, and Brother Michael has helped us in our studies and in our leading of our meetings, and it's been a blessing, and we've appreciated it, and Michael has followed us here in a minute, so you'll receive their blessings here. And I know that Sister Bernie and Brother Ray and Sister Dawn and Brother Kim would also send their love on and greetings to you. We believe that they're home now. I think that they arrived back tonight from France. And so that will be a blessing to have them back with us again, and I'm sure that they've been a blessing to those overseas. We wondered what to bring to you as a lesson, and I think most of the elders do this from time to time. They wonder just what might be helpful, and I thought that as prayer has been especially helpful to me lately, we would pass on some thoughts to you that have been a special blessing to us. And some of you may have heard this talk before, but I'm sure that you'll receive something from it. How important is prayer? We say it is a very important doctrine. It covers probably I wouldn't say a third, but it covers a large portion of the scriptures. And it shows its need to us. It shows its purpose in our affairs, and we can see its results. Webster tells us about prayer that it means all manner of petitions, whether it be a request, whether it be an expression of thankfulness or praise. We have to start somewhere, you know, with our prayer, and one is written that we start with trustfulness, we go into waiting, and we end with thankfulness, triumph, and praise. Prayer is our lifeline. Prayer is our direct contact with our Heavenly Father. We don't have to wait for the operator to put us through. We don't have to put any money in the phone or put a credit card down. When we are speaking, He's already heard us. He knows our very thoughts and intents of our heart. And He's there waiting for us. Why do we pray? We pray because there is a need. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6, that's Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6, reading from the paraphrased New Testament. Do not worry about a thing. Strange way to start a statement by the Apostle Paul. However, this is not the King James way of putting it, but it's close, and we think it conveys a very important message. Do not worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and then do not forget to thank Him for His answers. The diaglot of these same verses, Philippians 4:6. Be not overly anxious. And we believe this is especially important to us. And we ask, why not? If we weren't anxious, we wouldn't even come to the Father with our prayers. We wouldn't pray. There'd be no need. But we are anxious. We want to tell Heavenly Father. Usually we have a petition to ask Him. Not always, of course, because prayer is going to mean a number of things in our life, isn't it? Well, we are to ask. And many things do cause anxiousness in our lives. But listen to the psalmist. I love the way that the psalmist David puts it. And you know, the hymns are songs. And there's about 150 of them. Most of them can be attributed to David. And we see David. We see him out there in those fields. We see him tending his sheep. We see him as a warrior. We see him as a king. Always, he's singing to us. And he says in the 55th Psalm, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We can pray that prayer every single day and probably not realize the minute times even that the Lord has blessed us, heard us, answered us. The righteous shall never be moved. But yet, we say many times, if we were not anxious about things, we wouldn't be bringing them to God. We wouldn't ask. To be anxious, though, is one thing, and that's why the dialogue is so important here. To be anxious is one thing, but to be overly concerned is yet another, isn't it? And many times, we find ourselves overly concerned. Already the Lord has generally answered our prayer in some way, or he wants us to continue to ask him over and over and over and to wait for his answer. And you know, friends, sometimes we don't even see the answer when he gives it to us. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, and then watch the same with thanksgiving. Weymouth says, this is the Weymouth translation of the same chapter, the fourth chapter of Colossians, verse 2, be earnest and unwearied. So you see, sometimes the right thought is lost within the King James, where another translation would give us the correct thought. Be earnest and unwearied in prayer and always alert. Now here's the important part. Always alert to be thankful. Are we thankful? We ask ourselves that first of all. Are we thankful? One must indeed have a continuity in their prayer. You don't just ramble on and on and on about nothing. Of course not. No, usually you go to the Father and you could line everything right out. Sometimes you could tell the Father in 10 words what's on your heart. Sometimes you might go on for a half an hour or more. One must indeed have continuity about prayer, because we must never ask and then forget what we have petitioned for. God wants us to keep on asking. And we say, why? Why does God want us to keep on asking? Because he wants us to be in that heart condition where he can work with us. We must look for his answers. And as I've said before, sometimes we look for the answers, but you know what we're looking for? We're looking for our answers. We're looking for the answers that we want, not what God wants to give us. And yet God will answer our prayers if we will ask in the right heart attitude. And we must be thankful. We must be thankful. What is there we have not received that we could not ask or thank God for? Well, we know that he has condescended to accept us as his sons. Little nothings. He could have asked those glorious angels to come into the same relationship, but he didn't. He didn't. He came to you and he came to me. The most precious relationship is that of a father and his son. I'm afraid I didn't understand that very well as a child. I came along late in my family's life. And yet, as I grew, and as after I consecrated, I could appreciate my father more and more. And I remember the day that he passed away. When I went to his room, he was awake, and he looked at me, and you know what he said? He says, "You poor duck." And he held out his hand. Me! And he was the one that was suffering. And he passed away about an hour and a half later. But my father was a fine man. Now, your Heavenly Father is the greatest individual there is. And he has called you his sons. And he's called me his son. Do you know we have a wonderful co-laborer in this yoke, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we have vowed to lay down our lives as he laid down his? The psalmist says in the 100th Psalm, "Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and be thankful." You notice how he continually says, "Be thankful unto him, bless his holy name." Does God hear our prayers? Sometimes maybe we think he doesn't. Well, it depends maybe on us, doesn't it? But the psalmist again, in a song, lays it out so beautifully that there can be absolutely no doubt about it. The 65th Psalm. He says, "O thou who hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come." Yes, they shall. In due time, every one of his sons, his earthly creatures, will come to him. David knew this. David was well aware of this. And he could sing this song with confidence. It's comforting, isn't it? It should be. Well, how should we go about prayer? Sometimes I've awakened in the middle of the night, and I'm sure you have too, and certain thoughts, sometimes disturbing, have come into my mind. And I really don't know how to come to God and ask him for his help or tell him about things. How should we pray? First of all, we're told in the 145th Psalm, verse 18, we must pray in truth. He says there, "The Lord is high unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth." What is it to call upon him in truth? Well, here in this verse, the word for truth is sincerely. That's how we do. We call upon him sincerely. One must be sincere, that is, without hypocrisy, without pretense, straightforward in our pleas to the Heavenly Father. He wants us to come to him in no other way. Yes. To call upon the Lord of heaven and earth is one thing, and to know that he is on our side and working everything out for our benefit is such a stupendous thought, we can hardly take it in. The Israelites were in just this condition. Listen to the words of Deuteronomy 4:7. He says to them, "What nation is there so great who hath a God so nigh unto them?" Sometimes I'm sure that they did not realize fully. "As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for." It is for the faithful heart that our prayers must flow. Yes, from this faithful heart our prayers must flow, a heart trustworthy, as it was with Israel, it must be with all of God's people. God says, ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Yes, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:12-13. Search for me with all of your heart. A true heart means a singular heart, an honest heart, a heart that is in tune with God, and all others will find themselves out of tune with Him. We should pray in righteousness. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayers of the righteous. Oh, yes. He heareth the prayers of the righteous. This is closely aligned with praying in truth, for as justice is the foundation of God's throne, as our actions should be based upon this principle, we can come to the Lord in prayer asking Him for His guidance and His care. And if we have been unrighteous in our actions, then we have things to straighten out, don't we? But we must, first of all, make sure that when we do come to Him, we've come to Him in the right fashion. Again, this beautiful song, this beautiful psalm, but it is a song that our beloved shepherd David prayed, and the one which we pray daily, I'm sure. Psalm 19:12-14, you can quote it by heart, no doubt. Who can understand his errors? Oh, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. Then I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then cleanse thou me from secret faults. Yes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now the leaders of Israel were not right in many things that they did. They loved, the scribes and the Pharisees enjoyed being heard when they prayed to God, and they wanted everybody to know it. Our Lord says of this, when ye pray, enter into your closet. When you shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:6. Yes, we understand the true meaning of this. We don't trumpet our prayers. It isn't going to be any good. I mean, if the only reason we're praying is to be heard by somebody else, then the prayer has been lost, hasn't it? And usually we say that our prayers should be in few words. And we shouldn't be in a hurry either. Now sometimes that's not going to work for us. Sometimes our prayers are long and tedious because we want something. We remember the unfortunate widow. She prayed to be heard. Now sometimes it almost sounds contradictory, because some prayers are of necessity, long of duration. Others are urgent, and they're in need of a quick answer. And so when we say, don't be in a hurry to get your answer, sometimes our prayers are in need of a quick answer. What is meant then? Well, we must think out what we wish to say to God, first of all, isn't it? And then realize that God knows our needs ever before we ask them. You say, well, why ask then if He already knows them? Matthew 6:8 tells us this. Then in Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter, and verse 2, that's Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and we are upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Again, sounds contradictory, because sometimes we need to talk a long time with the Lord. Did not Jesus talk a long time in the Garden of Gethsemane? He talked long enough so that his friends went to sleep. Sometimes he was all night in prayer. We must ask in faith and then watch for our answers. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter and verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth no sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Well, that just gives us the thought that we must think out wisely before we ask the Heavenly Father, because there are some things that if we already know that the Father wants us to come to him in prayer, and there's a purpose in coming to him in prayer, we should come to him rightly. We should come to him thinking out what we've asked him for. One point how we must pray is probably the most important of all, a prayer through Christ. Yes. Only through Jesus will any be heard. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, says Jesus in John 6:44. Well, you could use that phrase in many ways, but I like to think of it that even through prayer, unless we come through Jesus, our prayers will not be heard. In John 14:13, we read, whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. John 15:16, whatsoever she shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And again, let's not be hasty. Let's think about these words. He's not going to give us a new car, a new house, a new boat. He's not going to give us money. He's going to give us the spiritual things, isn't he? That's what he's going to give us, and that's what we should ask for. We could ask him, and we do ask him many times for a guidance in our temporal affairs. And he is, in most cases, more than willing to give us an answer, the help, isn't he? John 16:23-24 and Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks always for all things unto God the Father, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet there's still another factor to be taken into consideration. Jesus always asked if it was the Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence. That's 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So it must be in the Father's will, or we wouldn't want it done. The 6 special powers of prayer. Did you know that there are ways to pray and that they'll do something for you and they'll do something for me? This was brought very vividly to my attention many, many times. And without going into any details, just recently. I ask, and suddenly I got the answer. Was there. Let's look at the power that prayer exhibits. 1, let us start with gratitude and joy. Gratitude, we say, David was probably one of the most thankful, gratitude-giving individuals in the Bible. Or, for that matter, that the world had ever seen. He sang always to the Lord when he was with his sheep. He praised the Eternal for every experience of life. Get this, the 100th Psalm begins this way, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And again and again and again, that is what his psalm is. It's a song. And our prayers in many ways are songs. We're singing to our Heavenly Father. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates then with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. That's the kind of a God we pray to. That's the kind of a God who hears us. We can imagine what inspired David as a shepherd watching the sunrises, the sunsets, the evenings with their myriads of stars, the stillness. Here's the prophet Habakkuk in 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. We can see David out there. But you know the earth is also full of grief and sorrow and sadness. There's a story about a man who lost his son in an accident. He was grief-stricken, and he didn't come to the Lord in any way of thanksgiving. He came to him, lashing out at him. Thanks seemed to him as blasphemy. He spoke of his loss to a friend of his. And this friend simply said, I never had a son. In other words, he had that son for a while. He should have been thankful for every minute of his life. And yet, he should have thanked God for all of that and more. Then it was that he realized that his prayer with thanksgiving engenders joy and it engenders peace. And it lifts the soul. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the daily experiences. Thank you, Lord, for all of our friends, for the joy, and thank you, Lord, for the sorrow. Thank you for the memories. The next power is that for others. Oh, friends, this is a powerful prayer. You've often heard it said that prayer changes things, and I stand here before you attesting, amen. One's prayers must never be selfish prayers, and sometimes we do pray selfish prayers. They should be, how can I help? How can I care? Because prayer is the most powerful form of energy there is in our life. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. And I will sing with understanding. To pray and to sing with understanding is to put yourself in the shoes of the one that you are praying for. We don't always do that, do we? To pray and sing with understanding, then, in this way, your prayer will be effective, and it will do more than be effective for the one you're praying for. It will give you a better perspective of all the situations in your life. But you know, sometimes the most powerful prayer is for the one whom you believe has wronged you. This is where you start to understand the other person, isn't it? Oh, we are aware that there are two sides to every question. But how easy it is to block out the other person's view. In Philippians 2:4, we have the ideal formula. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Philip is even better here. None of you should think only of his own affairs, but should learn to see things from the other person's view. Sometimes that's pretty hard to do. Prayer for others changes our life. Yes, indeed. It changes our life. It makes us sympathetic. It develops strength of character. And if we want the total point of view, we only need to see that while on the cross, what did our Lord Jesus do when he was suffering? Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. The third power of prayer is that of confession and penitence. One has said, our guilts, that is, are like stones. They weigh us down. Right? How true that is. Confession, though, is a cleanser of the soul. Psalms 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. We can't hide anything from God, not one thing. We might hide it from our friends. We'll never hide it from God. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin will not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There's a formula there, isn't there? We see the greatness in that statement. David's prayer was in 2 Samuel 12:13. He said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Did that mean that David's guilt of murdering his friend in the battlefield and usurping his wife was forgiven? Well, it was forgiven, but David did have another trial to go through, didn't he? He lost his own son. I mean, we can't think that God is just going to overlook because we pray to him and say, forgive me, Lord, for what I do, that's the end of the situation. We have to realize that if we have made a sin, that the Lord is going to no doubt likely give us a problem for us to see our own guilt and benefit by it. The fourth power of prayer is discovery and contemplation. Prayer is a dialogue. It is not a monologue. In Isaiah 30:21, we read, in thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Well, of course, we realize those are our experiences of the past that we look back on for our going ahead in life. When we look and listen for God's answers to prayer, we'll find it. Get that? When we look and listen. Nevertheless, faith is necessary. How strange it is that so often we think of prayer as a one-way street. We talk to God, but it doesn't seem that he talks to us. Hearing God may mean that we must surrender something. Yeah, that's exactly right. something we love, or some new task that we have not chosen for ourselves. And often prayer is that of discovery. How do we pray the prayer of contemplation? We pray in silence, waiting, willing, asking for faith and patience, not seeing, and to see, not hearing, to hear. The fifth power of prayer is that of grace. Ah, grace, the unmerited favor of God. A sea captain, John Newton, had a wonderful experience of God's favor. He wrote a hymn, you all know it well, Amazing Grace. Once I was lost, but now I am found. Once I was blind, but now I see. What is this prayer of grace? And how do we ask for grace? We answer with all our hearts, admitting that we of ourselves can change nothing. We can't manage it ourselves. We have to pray that God will give us the help that we need. There are times in our life when the storms lash out, seemingly to overwhelm us. And every one of us has gone through this at one time or another. Lord, give me the power to increase strength, for the courage to bear what seems that I cannot bear, compassion to forgive what seems cannot be forgiven, and wisdom to understand what seems impenetrable. The prayer for grace is a prayer not that God will do this or that for us, but that He will give us the power to do it ourselves. Last, the sixth power of prayer is the action. If we have a task to perform, we should first take the matter to the Lord and pray for His will, and then go ahead and work for its fulfillment. In James 2:17 and 18 is the case in point. He says, faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my works. My faith by my works. Why prayer? Well, why pray then? Because it gives us the courage to ask, to act. Faith shows our capacity. It marshals our resources. It arouses our love. It equips us to develop into mature Christians. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard says of prayer, prayer does not change God, but changes him who prays. In summary, prayer is so important to the Christian. It is our direct access to the Heavenly Father. We must not be overly anxious, but we must present our petitions truthfully, openly, casting every burden upon our Lord, and then knowing very confidently He hears and will answer within His will. Thanksgiving is ever so important in our prayers, and we are not to pray openly so much as we are in our closets, but at all times, regardless of whatever and wherever we are, whether it be in the early morning hours, the early morning hours of the night, or whatever, in the morning, whenever it could be. We are to enter with faith and watch for God's answer. And the six special powers of prayer are gratitude, joy and admiration, or adoration, the prayer for others, prayers of confession and penitence, prayers for discovery and contemplation, and prayers for grace. And finally, action in our prayers. Let us use these powers to grow in grace and in knowledge, and the Lord give us the strength to do so.
Thank you very much, Brother Carlton, for that beautiful lesson on the six special powers of prayer, how we need those lessons. Just a few brief announcements. The next session will be tomorrow morning in this same room at 9:45. Sunday morning will also start at the same time. In the morning we'll have a message of welcome by Brother Ron Cooper from Boise class, followed by morning devotions, and then a discourse by Brother Michael Nakora. They do have in the coffee shop at the restroom here, they did not tell us, it's not on the menu, but they have a breakfast special, and if you ask for a breakfast special for $2.39, which is eggs and potatoes and so forth, so it should be a fairly good meal, but yet they don't have it on the menu. There has been no formal arrangements made for a baptismal service, but if anyone desires to be immersed, we will make arrangements for that. And before we close for the evening, we'd like to ask Brother John Freer to read Songs of the Night for us.
April 22nd. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he has numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53:12. Well did the Father know that the Son's faith and obedience would be abundantly rewarded. Well did he know that the soul of Jesus, his being, would constitute the sin offering for Adam and his race. And well he knew that ultimately the Son should see a reward from this travail of his soul, which would satisfy him, which would more than compensate every trial, every tear, every pain. And is it not wonderful that in God's providence the called ones of this gospel age may apply these same consolations and assurances, each to his own heart, and know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to the called ones according to his purpose? Is it not wonderful that we also have the assurance that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him? That if we experience travail of soul in following in the footsteps of our Redeemer, we shall have more than compensating satisfaction, and that the word of the Lord so guarantees it to all who accept the Lord's promises in faith, the matter becomes a certainty. Faith can firmly trust him, come what may.
Thank you, Brother John. And I think with Brother Chandler's special lesson on the powers of prayer that we can retire to our rooms and dwell on that and gather here in the morning after a night of rest. Brother Carlton has chosen hymn number 219 for his closing, and then he will close us, dismiss us in prayer. 219.
We come before Thee, Father, thankful for the manner and the way that You have allowed us to arrive safely here in Boise. We're thankful for this day and its experiences. We're thankful for every gift of life, and eternally grateful to Thee for the gift of Thy Son, our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we have access to Thee. Dear Father, we know that You hear us always. It is our desire to please Thee and to do that which is right in Thy sight. And when we talk about being right, dear Father, we want to do those things which You would approve of at all times. Be right to our brethren, be right to those in the world, be right to our families, be right in every way. We're thankful, dear Father, that we can come to Thee, and You will hear us, and You will give us more than we really deserve. We're thankful that You have overruled in our lives to condescend to call us to become Thy sons, Thy children. And now, Father, we're thankful again for this privilege to be here in Boise, for this convention. We've looked forward to this. We would ask Thy blessing upon the night of rest, that we might return in the morning refreshed and ready for the blessings that You have for us. Now, Father, forgive us where we have erred in word or deed this day. Guide and watch over Thy children everywhere, and especially be with the sick and the isolated, those who would like to have been here but were detained, those who are still on their way. And for all things, we ask it and give thanks through Jesus' name. Amen.